Okay, so I just want to just finish up the topic a little bit from yesterday. Two points. So we mentioned that there's a machlokas in the Rishonim if you gave the get stam, right? Without a sukkah and boso inyan. According to most of the Rishonim, the whole sugya is only talking about a sukkah and boso inyan. And if it wasn't a sukkah and boso inyan and you gave it to her stam, it would be wouldn't be good at all. I believe that's what they hold. But the Rambam says it would be a get posel, right? And it's only bottle when it's given as a shtar chov. So it seems like the Rambam is learning that the requirement of he derives it from Sefer Krisis. Yeah, the Rambam learns it from, this is one of his requirements, that sheyitnena lo b'toras gerushin. And he says, u'minayin she'eino nosno lo ela b'toras gerushin, she'nemar sefer krisis v'nosno b'yoda. Sheyitin oso b'toras sefer krisis. Yeah. And then he says, if you gave it to her, b'toras shtar chov or something else, then it's eino get. But stam would be good. Midoraisa. So what does it mean that? So what does the Rambam mean to give it to her b'toras gerushin? It seems the Rambam is learning that it seems that Rama's learning it as a negation. That to give it b'toras gerushin means you have to simply give it as it is. And the only psul would be if you gave it as something else. Whereas the other Rishonim seem to be learning that there's a positive idea that it has to be given in a certain way. It has to be given with a in a manner of giving a get. It has to be given positively as a get. And if it was given stam, it wouldn't be, it's a positive requirement. The Rambam seems to be learning it as a negation of not giving it in a as something else. But the other Rishonim seem to be learning it as a positive obligation. Yeah, but it seems like this though. It seems that according to the other Rishonim, so how can you fix it? That was our problem. How do you fix it if it's a positive requirement? How do you fix it if it's a positive requirement? So the idea is that even though they hold there's a requirement of nesina, but of that has to be given to her with the yedia, there has to be a certain awareness of the get, either through the edim or through her. The ikker though is really all for kabbalas haget. It's still not a requirement on its own. It's in order that there should be a valid kabbalas haget, and without it being defined initially, it's gonna be lacking in kabbalah. So as long as it's defined afterwards, it's sufficient. And the Rambam seems to say midarabanan, he agrees with that, but midaraisa he holds there's no real midaraisa he holds it simply goes by the baal, as long as he gives it in and doesn't distort what it is, and I guess when she gets it, it's memela kabbalas haget. I don't have to think about it a little more. I was worrying a little more. But what about the question that I was asking the other day, though, is what if the Edom, what if he gives it to her stam, and then he tells the Edom it was a get? So it seems to me that that's not so pasha. It seems to me that there's a good reason to say it wouldn't be good. Why? Because if he tells the Edom beforehand, so then he's defining the Maisa of his Nesina. And then once the Maisa Nesina is defined as a giving of a get, then Memela the Kabbalah is a Kabbalah's a get. Okay? Because he's in control of the Maisa. So and that's like the Rambam holds, Midaraisa. It's his Maisa, and she will receive whatever he gives her. It's a one-sided type of a transaction. So as long as she's Shomer the get, as long as she's considered to be Shomer the document he gave her, and he defined it either via the Edom or intrinsically like the Rambam, he defined it as an Asina Saget, then Mamela, the transaction is completed. But let's say he gives it to her without defining it as a Nesina Saget. So then the only way that you can redeem it is from the tzad of the Kabbalah. But it seems to be that only she now can qualify the Kabbalah as a Kabbalah Saget. Because there's no more Maisa. In other words, Nesina and Kabbalah are, in a certain sense, one long process, right? The Nesina is the transition, and the Kabbalah is the Hanacha, so to speak, right? Now, I can define the Kabbalah Saget automatically if I have positively defined the Nesina. Because the Kabbalah is just the culmination of the Nesina. So if I have already qualified and defined the Nesina as a Maisa of Mesiras Get, because I've made it known to the Edom that this is my intention, right? So then I'm defining, the Baal is defining the Maisa Nesina. And then all you need from the Isha is that the Nesina is terminated in her Rishus. So then Mamela would have a Nesina and Kabbalah Saget. Because I'm defining the Maisa Nesina. Okay? But if the Maisa Nesina is not defined, now who defines the Maisa Nesina? I can define the Maisa Nesina. Correct? Because I am the one who's doing it. And she will just be receiving whatever I have defined that I'm giving. But if I gave it already without a definition, so I can't define my Maisa anymore. Right? So what do I say, though? I say, yeah, but since it hasn't been completed, so the Kabbalah is not complete, so then when I tell her it's her get, she is the one who now will do a Maisa, so to speak, will be involved in Kabbalah Saget. Because she, when she becomes aware of what she's holding, then automatically it becomes, to her, the receipt of a get. You understand? But if I tell Edom what it is, it's not going to help. Because the Kabbalah is in her hands, literally speaking. And it's going to be her das that will qualify what her Kabbalah is. Her awareness is what will qualify her Kabbalah. Telling Edom what it is won't help, because telling Edom only helps to define my Maisa. And then Mamela, she's on the other end of the Maisa, so whatever she gets is definitively a Kabbalah's Haget. But where does it get the quality of Kabbalah Saget when she is holding it already, and it wasn't defined as in terms of the Maisa? From her. So unless she's aware that it is a get, there's no kabbalas haget just from telling Adam what it is that she's holding. Right. We only say it's enough to tell the Adam ahead of time, because then I can define the mice of Nisina. And then Mamela, it will be a completion of whatever my Nisina is. But there's two ways to define the thing. Either define it by my action, or I'll define it by her action. My action, I can, since I know what I'm doing, I just have to objectify it to Adam. But her action, telling Adam what it is not going to objectify her action. To her, it's still not a kabbalas haget. So where's the completion of the nesina in her, of a get to her? If she's totally unaware, that's fine, as long as I have already defined the nesina. But if I haven't, then there has to be an actual kabbalas haget. Now, there could be a legal kabbalas haget and an actual kabbalas haget. A legal kabbalas haget is where it's defined as a maisa nesinas haget via yediyas ha'edim. So then we say, well, since it was defined as a nesinas haget, so then legally she's considered to have accepted the nesinas haget. Did she know about it? No, we don't care if she knows about it. We don't need her to know about it. But if it's not a legal nesinas haget, meaning to say it wasn't defined as a nesinas haget initially, then the only way it can be kabbalas haget is if there's an actual kabbalas haget. But that needs her knowledge. I haven't found this case anywhere, but that's mustaver to me that way. All right, okay. Let's go to the next case. Yeah, something else. See, what I'm saying is that telling the Adam is only good because it objectifies what is being done. Okay, it's not like just a thing that if you tell Adam, it makes something into something. Now, that's the distinction I'm trying to make. There's an idea that it's not enough to know what you're doing. It's not enough to do something, you have to objectify it. Right? Adam objectifies something. Okay? But Adam doesn't define what you're doing. Okay? So for instance, if two people make a kinyan, right? This is a well-known example. If two people make a kinyan, let's say we do a sale, privately it's a kinyan, right? And it's binding. Halachically it's binding. But what do we say? We say in Davar Shebe'erva, you always need two Adam, right, to do something. So what does that mean? It means, say, if a man were to give a woman Kesef Kedushin privately, it wouldn't be valid, right? But if he gives her Kesef Kedushin in front of Adam, it's valid, right? Why? Because by Davar Shebe'erva, everything has to be a matter of public record. Okay, every action has to be done in a public manner, okay? But all that means to say is that although you're doing it, although your kavana is to do it b'toras kiddushin, right, you need it to be objectified, right? So the Adam just come in and are saying that what it is that you're doing, we are establishing it as an objective action, okay? But they're just coming in to give a quality to what you're doing, right? The very substance, the very essence of the nesinas mo'os b'toras kedushin comes from the das of the parties, right? The edim are just saying, the edim are there to objectify what you're doing, right? But something has to be done apart from the Adam. It has to be something that we can say is being done. And the Eidim are going to be objectifying it, making it an objective action. Okay? Right? That's how Eidim work. That's how Eidim work. So what I'm saying over here is like this. But it's not that anything that Eidim know makes it defines the thing as the action. That's different. So for instance, in the Kedushin case, if the guy would tell two Eidim, hey, I'm going to give this woman money as Kedushin, she doesn't know about it yet, and she's not going to know it at all, but my true Kavanah is to give her money for Kedushin, right? That wouldn't be good. You wouldn't say, well, now Eidim know he's giving her money for Kedushin, so automatically it's money of Kedushin, and she just accepted money of Kedushin, and she's married. That's preposterous, right? That's preposterous, because the Eidim can only objectify what is occurring. They don't make what occurred. They don't make it occur. Okay. So since accepting Kesef Kedushin requires her das, she can't accept Kesef Kedushin Baal Karchoch. Obviously, you can't say that she accepted Kesef Kedushin. All right, so in that sense, it's a bad example, maybe. But the point I'm trying to make is like this, that by the Gerushin, the Nesina is in the hands of the Baal, right? He's going to define the Maisa Nesina. So he says to the Eidim, my Kavana is, I'm giving a get to my wife. So now their viewing of it makes it objective. So now that makes it an objective Nesinas Gerushin, right? But Kabbalah is something that she is doing, correct? So if I gave her a get and she didn't know what it was, and I tell Eidim that was a get, they're not going to witness her Kabbalah saget, because from her framework, in any objective framework, there was no Nesina saget. So how can there be a Kabbalah saget without a Nesina saget? So just telling the Eidim afterwards that was a get that I gave doesn't make it a Nesinas I get. And a Kabbalas I get can only follow a Nesinas I get. You can only be Makabel that which was given. So it turns out there was no objective Kabbalas I get.
Because there was no
objective Nesinas I get. So just telling them after the fact that was a get that I gave her won't make it a Kabbalas I get. It'll just make them see somebody holding something that they don't know what it is. Now, is that a Kabbalah Saget? No. Her awareness of what it is makes it a Kabbalah Saget. And if it's done in front of Eidim, then we can say it was an objective Kabbalah Saget. But just telling Eidim what is occurring, when the Maisa that's occurring depends on her knowledge, doesn't mean that it occurred. No, in Gerushin you always need an objective. The Eidim always are there too. Eidei Kiyam, they're called. They're not just Eidei Rai. Everything has to be done in front of Eidim. So if a man and a woman privately gave a get, and they go and they say, they both admit in front of 100 witnesses that it was done Taurus Gerushin, and nobody doubts that it was done, it still is no good because it wasn't done in front of Eidim. So, but the point is, even besides that, the point is that the Eidim can't make something happen. They can only watch what happens, and by watching it, they can objectify the event. So, by Gerushin, everything has to be done in an objectifiable way. So it has to be done in front. Everything has to be done in front of Eidim. So if I tell the Eidim this is a get that I'm giving, then I've objectified and defined it as Nesinas HaGet. And then automatically they watch the Kabbalas HaGet because it was defined what that was. But if there was no Nesinas HaGet, so then if there was no statement of Nesinas HaGet, then there was no objective Nesinas HaGet. Then her Kabbalah doesn't, then there is no Kabbalas HaGet. And now the only way to have Kabbalas HaGet is for her to actually be makabel to get, to know what it is. Just to tell her to tell them that it's a get is not going to make it a Kabbalah. They're not going to see a Kabbalah to get. That's the point I'm trying to make. They have to see a Kabbalah to get. You can't combine their knowledge and her holding it and say now, it's not like we throw everything into one objective plane and say we can mix things that she's doing and things that they know and turn it into one objective thing of a kabbalah sugya. Okay. All right, let's take the next sugya. No, I got to start in Ayin Ches. All right, this is a very dense sugya. Richly rich, packed in there. A lot of things going on here. A lot of Rishonim, a lot of Gemaras. Interesting topic. Okay, so ready? Omar Rava. Is that where I have to? Yeah, Omar Rava. Let's get all the pshat right. Got it? Who wants to read? Omar Rava. Ayin Ches Amad Alf. Avda. Okay, so Rava says if he wrote a get and he put it in the hands of her slave, Yoshein Umisham Rosso Hareze get. Okay? If what? If the get is asleep and. I'm sorry, the Eved is asleep. And what? And she's watching him, then it's good. Good. I raise a get, Rashi. Ooh, Yashin, right. So why is it good? It's a chotzer that's mishtameres ledaita. Why is it a chotzer that's mishtameres ledaita?
Because of her.
Since the Eved is asleep, eino mishtamer ela al yoda. All right, so right now, Rashi is just focusing on the shmira aspect of it. That what? Since the Eved is asleep, he is the only one who's responsible for, she's the only one who's responsible for his, for what happens to him. Right? But what? Go ahead. But Nior. But if he's awake when he gives her the get, then it's no good. Why? Okay, so an Eved has a din of a chatzer. An Eved has a din of chatzer. Okay. And it has to be a chatzer that's mishtameres ledaito. Yeah. It has to be a chatzer that's mishtameres ledaito. So we had this, right? We did this a little bit. Seems like a long time ago, but we did a little bit. Because that's like Yad, right? Dum Yud Yada. By Yad, it's the Yad is Mishtameres L'daita. She's aware and she controls what goes in and out of her hand. So Chotzer is we get the reboy of Chotzer from Yad. So in order for the for a chotzer to be good, as for Kabbalah Saget, it has to be mishtameres ledaita. So right now, we're just saying a simple thing. If the Eved is awake, so then he's Shomer himself, right? He's Shomer himself, interesting Rashi, right? And Masha Biyodo. He's put two things in there, right? It's interesting he puts in two things. He's Shomer himself and what that which is in his hand. And therefore, it's a chotzer that's mishtamera shalo ledaita. Yeah, so we discussed this a little bit, right? And, yeah, why does he have to say mishtamera that he's shomer himself and what is in her hand, and what is in his hand? So we discussed this last time. We were discussing chotzer, because we said even if she gives him orders, right, to watch, to take something for her, we said by a field, it can be mishtameres ledaita even if she's not samuchla, right? She can just like Rashi said, it's mishtameres ledaita klomer al piha val tzivuya, that she's commands somebody to guard the field and let certain things in and other things to keep other things out, right? So then we were saying, so then why can't you say an eved is mishtameres al piha too? She'll tell them to take certain things and not other things. And then it'll be whatever goes in and out of his hand will be just like a shomer can make her field mishtameres l'daita, because it's accepting her command. Why can't the eved be watching it l'daita, taking stuff into his hands l'daita? Lafuki had, I mean, right? Because that was by the mishtameres by ayin zayin abez. The Gemara Rashi says lafuki. This case, lafuki, avda niur, right? Because that's a chotzer hamishtamer shalolodaito, right? Shehu mishamer atzmo midaito. Yeah. So in other words, we said because he is primarily, since he's shomer himself, right? He can't qualify the place as being mishumar by her. It was by the chatzir, we said there's no shmira, there's no natural shmira on the chatzir. There is no idea of a shmira in the chatzir me'atzmo. There's nobody's identity that exists. There's nobody's identity that's already existing in the chatzir. So now, whoever causes the place to become guarded will say they're considered the authors or the bailam of that shmira. So if I hire somebody and he's doing it because of me, so every shmira that he does is in line with my command. So I'll say the quality of shmira is ultimately coming from me. He's just the middleman. But why is he doing this? He's doing this from the woman, Alpiha. Okay, but that's good by a chotzer that has no shmira on its own. But if something is intrinsically has the shmiras atzmo, then it's impossible to remove shmiras atzmo and make it someone else's shmira. Because everything he does stems from himself. So he can never turn himself into a chotzer that's only qualified by another person. Every decision he makes is his decision too. And it's about him. So he can never escape the fact that he's intrinsically shomer atzmo, and therefore it's going to always be considered that it's not mishtamer shlodaita. It's mishtamer shlodaita. So that's why it has to be that he's mishamer atzmo v'esmashe biyado, because since it's atzmo. Since essentially he's a shomer on himself, therefore, whatever he does, what he washes in his hands, is considered to be shalom midaita. Okay, so that's the first requirement of a sleep. Go ahead.
So
now the Gemara says, okay, that's so you're telling me, Rava, that as long as the Eved is asleep, it's a get. Am I?
Chatzar Hana?
Yeah. Why should that be? It's a moving chatzar. It's a moving chatzar. And a moving chatzar is no good. And that's Rava's own statement in Shnayim Elchsim. But maybe you'll say, I just said he's asleep. We don't assume he's a sleepwalker, right? Go ahead.
Rashi or the continue.
So maybe you'll say that since he's asleep, he doesn't have a problem of chotzer maleches because he's not moving. No, it's not true. Rava himself said, "Kol she'ilu mahalech lo kona." If when he's moving, he would not be kona. Anything that while it's moving would not be kona. Omed, meaning standing still, or yoshev, sitting, is also not kona. And Rash says this is also Rava. Right? This is also Rava in Bava Metzia. I'm not sure why Rashi goes to the boat case, but this is also Rava. So what's the halacha? So what does the Gemara conclude? Yep. So we must say that what now? Now let's be very careful on this. That what, Rashi?
She'enu
ro'i lahalech
behahu.
She'enu ro'i lahalech. Okay, so what does it mean, the Hilchsa B'Kafos, that he's tied up, he's bound? Well, how does that help? Now that helps, because now he's not roy to move, right? In other words, sleeping is no good because he's still roy to move. Interesting. What? Right? I mean, what do you mean he's roy to move? He's roy to move if he wakes up. So when he's tied up, he's also roy to move if he's untied.
Why is cutting it different?
Yeah, why is one different than the other? Okay, so maybe you guys could be like experts already, as you say. It's the difference between the shota and the sleep and chusar maisa. Okay, but I don't know if that comes into the sugya, but it's an association that's helpful. But anyway, here's the key part. Here's the key part of Rashi. Go ahead.
Behahu ka'amar Rabba.
Davayet.
Good. Now, what does that mean?
In that one, Rabba's talking about because.
So tell me now. So now what?
He's saying that it's a get when he's tied up, but not when he's sleeping.
Anybody?
About the sleeping one.
In other words, what was Rava's statement? Kosav lo get v'nasno biyad avdo yoshein umisham raso hareze get. So Rava says that if you give a get to the, if you put the get into the Eved's hand, and he's asleep and she's watching him, it's a get. If he's awake, it's not a get. The Gemara had all these problems with Mahaleches, so it says no, he's tilchasa that he's tied up. What does that mean halachically? Now, Rashi says, "Bahu ka'amar Rava davi get," meaning what? But what does it mean?
Sleeping case.
That when Rava was talking about the sleeping case, he also meant he was tied up.
Oh, he also meant he was tied. Not that that's considered tied up.
No. That's a nice possibility, but Rashi is excluding that possibility. That is what Rashi is excluding.
If he wasn't tied up, then it would be no get.
Oh, no. Right, that's the way Rashi's learning. That when Rava said asleep is good, he meant when he's tied up. He meant when he's tied up. This is very problematic. Okay. Because if you take a look on Chaf Aleph, which is the sugya right here, the Gemara has Amar Rava, about five or six lines down, on Aleph, Chamfav, Kosov lo get v'nosno biyad avdo, v'kosov lo shtar matan alov. No, that's not right. Okay. Yeah. If you wrote her a get and you put it in the hands of the Eved, and then you wrote a shtar matana on the Eved, she's kona the Eved, and she's divorced, right? We did this case. V'amai chotzem aleches hi v'chotzem aleches lo kona. Maybe you'll say he's omeid, not going to help. Kol she'ilu mahalich lo kona, omeid v'yoshiv lo kona. V'yilchus v'kofos. That's basically the end of that Gemara. What does it not say? Asleep. This is the big problem. Okay.
Meaning that kavos itself should be enough.
Well, it's a problem. This Gemara doesn't say anything about asleep. Okay, so Tosus jumps in and he says, kofos v'yoshin v'inan. It has to be both. Kida mashmal kolam v'azorik. Right? And maybe you'll say, So he quotes Rashi, Upirish Bekuntris, Bahi Ka'amar Rava, right? That's exactly what Rava is simply adding Kofos to Ni'or. Right? So that's the way Tosus and Rashi are learning, that you need both. Okay? But before we get into that, but there are other shitas we'll have to see about whether. Like Rafi was learning, like Nior, like asleep is, Kofos is like asleep, asleep is like, we'll have to get into all the different possibilities. But before we get into these possibilities, I'd like to just get the basic concept of the Chotzer Mahalachas. Right? It's a strange idea. A Chotzer Mahalachas. And what's the exclusion of the Chotzer Mahalachas? Okay, so that's really the sugya in Bav Metzia. Yeah. Okay. All right, so the Gemara is like this. On Tes Amah Beis. Boy Rabbi Eliezer. Boy Rabbi Eliezer. Right? Yeah. Ha'omer l'chavero, m'shoch behema zu liknos kelim she'aleha mahu. Mahu liknos. Okay, so what's the case? If a person said to his friend, drag this behema to acquire the kelim that are on it, what's the halacha about being kohen of those kelim? Right? So Rashi says, what's the case? B'mekoch memkar, u'moch lo asa kelim v'lo asa behema. Right? So he wants to sell him the kelim, but not the behema. So how do you do it? One of the methods of kinyan is mashicha, correct? So he tells him to do mashicha on the behema, but not in order to acquire the kelim. So whose behema is it? It's the behema of the seller. So me omar le koni kini ela mashoch behema zu. The koni kelim shaleha mahu. Mi mahanya mashicha de behema laknu ye kelim olo. Yeah. So what does that mean? Mi omer le kini liknos mashma. Ata skavin liknos. Ani ine makmucho. How's this go? I'm sorry, I messed it up. Mahu liknos mi omer le kini ela mishoch behemazu kini kelim shaleha mahu. Okay, so what do you mean take this cow to acquire things? Who said to he didn't say acquire. So you have to say like this, mishoch behemazu ukini kelim shaleha. That's what he tells him. Okay. Right? No, it's just a lashon issue. It says liknos doesn't mean kini, doesn't mean take possession. Liknos is mashma ata skavin liknos ani eni maknumcha. I whatever. It's a, you know what I'm saying? It's just have to rephrase it. The phraseology is not good. Take this. If a guy says drag this animal in order that you will acquire it, that's not good. That doesn't imply to them actually making the kini. So you have to say, take this animal and acquire the kelim. Okay? All right, so what's the problem? Mi mahani mashicha de behema laknu ye kelim olo. Okay. So this is the big issue of being kona something in the kelim of the mocher. Okay? It's not like agav right at this point, because he's not being kona the behema. Okay. So Omar Rava, I Omar Le Kini Behemu Kini Kalim, Mikani Kalim. So Rava says, even if you had an easier case, it wouldn't work. Right? It wouldn't even work if the guy was being mocked to him the whole Behemu. Right? Mikani Kalim, the Mashiach, the Behemu. Ima behema. Would he acquire the kalim with the dragging of the behema together with the behema? Right. Did me the kami boy locha b'mocher kalim below behema michlal de b'mocher shneim pshita loch. Did me the kani behema kani kalim mishum taras chotzer. The kaim alon chotzer shalodim kona lo. So there was Rava saying, look, you're asking me a question if I tell the guy to drag the animal in order to acquire the kelim on the animal. So the implication is that if I would tell him to acquire the animal and the kelim, that would be a simple case. You're not asking me that case. You're asking me a more complicated case. So you obviously think that that case would work. And if that case wouldn't work, then this case wouldn't work. But why would that case work? Why do you think that case would work? Because the animal, you can definitely acquire the animal with mashicha, right? There's no question about that. And then the animal is like your chatzer, right? Jacob. And then the animal is like your chatzer. And if it's your chatzer, then you're assume you can be kona through your chatzer, right? But that's not so simple. It's a chatzer mahalachas. The chatzer mahalachas lo shma inan diketani, lo mashminan dikani. Where did you ever hear that a moving chatzer can be kona? Because how do we know chatzer works from imhimati timati biyado? That's gago chatzer over karpifo. But those don't move. Those don't move. And they're mishtamer. Okay. So you can be shomer your behema, but the problem is they move.
How does he say that then? The mishtamer thing.
So the whole thing is strange, right? The whole thing is strange. It's not saying that the behema is not like the chatzer. It is like the chatzer. But it's a moving chatzer. And we only learned the halacha by a stationary chatzer, not by. So why you just say it's not like a chatzer? I mean, it's.
Is there nothing in terms of like the chatzer?
Well, it seems like they're saying there's no reason to say it's not like your chatzer. But from the halacha that your chatzer can be koneh, you only know that. That's only taught by a special kind of a chatzer. There's no reason to differentiate. No, as in terms of the general idea, chatzir is simply your property. Chatzir is simply your rishus. It's part of your belongings. So why would I say a behema is any different intrinsically from a chatzir? In the sense of it being your belongings. But for some reason now he's saying, but in terms of the chiddush, that your belongings can acquire something for you, then it depends on the special kind of belongings that you have. And since we only know that from the case of im himatzi timatzei haganav biyado, right, and biyado means chatzero, then you have no right to, and we know a chatzero doesn't move under normal circumstances. So therefore, you have no right to assume that a moving chatzer will be good. But what's the idea? I mean, if we can say that it's like your property, so then why would we if we have no problem saying that the chatzer is like that a behemoth is like your chatzer in the sense that it's your property, so why would we assume that there's a special idea of a moving thing can't be kona for you? Why is that a distinction? The moving is not a distinction in the property. So why would I think that if I'm just telling you a rule that your property can be kona for you, and he doesn't have a problem identifying the behema as your property, why would I think the fact that it's moving or not moving was an essential feature in the fact that it can be kona for you?
It's like a chatzer.
No. So in Rava's cases, he was saying like this, that I would drag the behema, right?
Why is that necessary?
Oh, because the behema is not yours yet. You have to be kona
the behema.
The
behema is also not yours.
Right. The behema is not yours. The guy says, I'm going to sell you the animal and the saddle, right? So he takes the, and everything in the saddlebags. So he's moshech the behema. Now the animal is his. And now his idea is, and the saddle is on my property, so I should be kona the saddle through din chatzer. And Rav is saying that you seem to think is pashut, and that's why you're only asking me the question where he doesn't own the animal. He's just trying to do a mashicha indirectly through the other guy's property. Will that be a good mashicha or not? But in terms of the basic question. The animal being able to be koneth, via the animal midin chotzer, that you're not asking. But that itself is a problem, because it's not like the paradigm case of what? Chotzer, that doesn't move. Now that automatically, to anybody who's more or less awake, right, will realize, but where is chotzer from? Yad. And Yad does move. So what's the whole problem over here? It becomes funny. You'll say, well, chotzer, we know behema from chotzer. And chotzer doesn't move. So it's a problem. Yeah, but where do we know chutzir from? From yad. And I mean, as far as I mean, everybody knows that their hands move. So how do you say that a yad is like a, how do you get from a yad to a chutzir and have the chutzpah to say now, just like a chutzir doesn't move, the behemoth can't move. But we got the chutzir only from a yad. The yad is mobile.
Really, the chutzir has to be mobile.
So maybe the chutzir has to be mobile. Yeah. So, I mean, the Tosfos over here deals with it a little bit, but it's interesting. It's an interesting thing. The Tosfos over here on Sfina, I mean, we're jumping a lot of order, but the Tosfos on Sfina tries to answer it, and it's interesting. The Gilyan Hashas has a powerful question on the Tosfos, and you must not have seen the Ramban, because the Ramban exactly addresses his question. So, let's take a look at the Ramban. What does the Ramban say? I mean, just the idea. What's the idea in the Ramban? What is the difference between the moving of the... I mean, Tosa says it. Tosa says it, right? The arm moves when? When the body moves. But what does that have to do with anything? That's a nice, interesting fact. But what does that have to do with anything?
Like whenever your arm moves, you say your body...
No, it means to say... Well, Tosa is not really clear. That's why the Gilyan Hashas doesn't understand what he means. But...
he doesn't care about motion like this.
Like the
he says, see, Tosa has an interesting question. We're really jumping a little bit out of order, but he wants to say, how is a chotzer mishum yad is raboy? Vavi shapir dum yad yad, the menach nayach umamtu lo im gufe. Because the Gemara says later, the boat is considered not moving. It only moves because the water moves it. And Tosa says that that's a good riboy, that just like we learn chatzir from yad, and yad also only moves when the body moves it. It only moves when the body moves it. Yeah, but what does that mean? He doesn't mean the up and down motion. He means like moving away. Yes, yeah, so the Ramban explains it very well. Very, very well. What did you say? It's not a matter of moving, per se. It's a matter of moving away from the owner. Yes, he says, Hikshu v'tosfos. This is the Ramban from Chofalv in Gittin. So that's exactly our question. How could you say that a chatzar can't be mahaleches? But we learn chatzar from yad, and yad moves. Umetartzi yoda menach nayach vegufa hu dekor mamti lo. He says, Tosa says, no! You think the hand moves? The hand doesn't move. The hand is always in its place. It's always at rest. It's the body that moves. It's the body that moves. The hand just gets dragged along. Right? Vilav milsi. Ramban says it doesn't make any sense. The avagav de gufa nayoch yodolo nicha u kimahaleches damya. In other words, he's like saying, like you're saying that. I mean, the hand moves. What do you mean? The hand moves. The body doesn't have to move and the hand can still move. Masha'ini came besfina v'kalosa d'nichi legamri. No, it's because he wants to compare it to the boat and the basket. Because the Gemara says the boat, if a boat is riding on the ocean and fish jump into it, right? So the Gemara says, will he be kona the fish? Apparently, the Gemara felt like it has to be. He's kona the fish. I don't know why.
That's right? A question.
For some reason, that was a question. Like we all know that he's kona the fish when the fish jumps into his boat. I don't know why they knew that. Maybe there's some brice like that. But so Rava said, yeah, not a problem, because the boat is not considered the chatzar ma'aleches. It's going at 10 knots. It's traveling at 10 knots. No. The boat is not moving. The boat is... Hold on. The boat is not moving. It's the water that's moving it, or the air that's moving it. But the boat is not moving.
What if it was anchored? That kind of makes it sound like everyone. It doesn't matter if it's mahalachas or not.
You mean the question?
Yeah.
You're right. They were challenging Rava on that. And then or the Gemara says, what about if he throws it in the woman's basket on her head? Right? So he says, yeah, it's true. That's the same thing. The basket's not a mahalechas. It's not a chutz mahalechas. Because it's at rest. It's at rest. It doesn't mean relativity, right? Because the boat is not at rest relative to anything.
That's what I thought I meant from the boat.
Right. No, because it's moving relative to...
What if it's anchored
in? You mean because the water? Well...
Like it doesn't move with respect to the water.
I guess. I mean if it's not if it's not a sailboat.
But what if it's anchored in?
Right. It doesn't have sails. Right.
But what if the boat is anchored in?
If it's anchored, then it's not moving. But their question is when it's moving. And then he says like this, Vafilu, but you can't say the arm is like that because the boat and the basket, if the water doesn't give it force, or the person doesn't give the basket force, they'll be completely at rest.
There's no guf, you don't have the arm moving.
But if the guf doesn't move, the arm can still move, right? No, so Ramban was learning that Tosus meant that there's no independent motion of the arm. Just like he thought Tosus was saying that there's no self propulsion of the boat has no self propulsion and the basket has no self propulsion, and they were trying to compare that to the arm. But he says, but the arm has a self propulsion. I mean, it has its own source of motion. So he gives an answer. He says like this. Ella kevan she'ein yoda misracheches mimena. That's the key. Not a question of does it move, but does it leave? The hand will never get further from the body. Okay? Since it's not misracheches mimena, it never goes away from her, then it's kishe'ena mahaleches dami. But a chotzer mahaleches, it's able to get away from the master. Velo tehe mishtameres ledaita lo kanile. Kevan she'efshar lo lisrachek, and he adds in the shmira, like Rashi, that's why it's no good. So he's trying, so he's very beautifully giving an idea of what mahalechas is in terms of kinyan. And why there's a deficiency in mahalechas, and why we define the hand as not moving, and all of these other things moving, and why we consider the boat not moving either. Why you say the boat can get away from the? Go ahead. That's right. Right. In other words, it's not a matter of it having an independent force, because an arm has an independent force from the body. Right. The question is, does it have an independence of existence from the body, from the owner? So the only time we say that a chatzer is kone is when the chatzer when the chatzer intrinsically as a cheftza will stay put, will stay where it's put. So therefore it doesn't express in itself any independence of the baal. Then it's property that's roy for kinyan. Because in order to have kinyan, it has to have your shame, and it has to be that it's completely under your dominion. But an animal, I can own an animal, but it's not under my dominion in terms of its existence, because it roams. You understand? So he's saying that all we see from Yad is that something that has the identity of the owner and is tied to the and is considered under the dominion of the owner is roy for kinyan, but a behema is not. So yad is, because yad is, that's what he says, the key is it's not misrachekes me'atzmo. That's the key. Moving, it's not a matter of motion. See, if it was just moving, that would just be an arbitrary comparison. Who cares if it's moving or not? I mean, does it make it less mine because it's moving? If I'm kone because it's my property, so is it less mine because it's moving? No. But if the idea of of the Kinyan Chatzer is that it's that it's property that functions for my bialis, then it's only when it doesn't have the ability to leave my bialis, to leave my control. And so then mehaleches is not in the sense of motion, objectively speaking, it's in the sense of an independence from the owner. So Yad is the greatest example, really, of a chassid that's not mehaleches, because it has absolutely no existence or independence apart from the Baal. So then really, chatzer has to really be modeled. When we say property is kona like a Yad, it means to say that it's only when the property is like the Yad. Meaning what? It's fully mishtameres l'daita. Means that its comings and goings are under my control, and they remain the way I kept them. Right? That excludes an animal. Unless the animal is completely bound. What? A leash would be good. A leash would be good. Cuffless. Let's say that would be good. Okay?
But that comes back to the
end. All right, so that's the first element. Now we see clearly what the issue of moving is and how tiny. We have to think, we can think a little bit about what he means. If it's not moving, the fact that it's not moving is not going to help you, but the fact that it's tied up, apparently that will change its quality now. Right? Now it has no ability. The fact that it's standing doesn't take away its ability to be independent. But the fact that it's leashed, it's tied up, that does. Okay? Alright, so then we'll go back to Gittin and we'll see about the issue of sleeping. By the behemoth, there's no issue of a sleep. Because the behemoth is not Shomer himself. He has no, doesn't have that type of intelligence. But the question now we'll go back to by the Eved is Rava learning you need both, or is one sufficient? That's a big question in the Rishonim.